Guys, I don't know why. Okay, I don't know.
I clicked
the
new button
panic
in Skype, and I somehow activated a new view for all four of us, where where our torsos are shooting out of these stone stairs.
It looks like we're like monkeys in a zoo.
It's like
in an enclosure.
Skype is a bad piece of software in so many ways, and it delights me that this is where they're spending their R&D energy, is how can we put the four besties boys in one virtual shot? Can someone screenshot that?
Oh, I got it. Just
don't worry.
Okay, good.
Okay, good. Yeah, because we're going to need that for our social.
Yeah, for sure, Soshi. But it feels right, doesn't it? It feels like a nice, fun day at the zoo with my three friends. One of them's my brother.
Yeah. And who I think were friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like to think of us as friends.
I mean, why did I just shrink?
Oh, yeah, we can change. Wait, why did Chris just get smaller?
No, he's just leaning back.
It's perspective. If you get close. Boy, I wrote the book on podcasting, and number one, chapter one is like visual gags.
Yes. Always start podcasts with visual gags.
We got to fix it back, or the entire podcast will be about the steps.
Griffin, what did
Although
you do?
It would be nice, though, to take a little trip to the Arctic. Now we're behind a snowy tundra. Why did they do this? This is terrible. This is horrid. Where would you guys? Oh, my God, guys. No, forget. Why are we wasting our time? We're in Minecraft.
I thought that was Duck Hunt.
Minecraft.
Oh, no, it's Minecraft. Yeah.
I mean, it's Microsoft, so yeah, Minecraft.
This is actually, to be clear, this actually is kind of great.
It looks like a shitty gamer parody version of Bohemian Rhapsody.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best games of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I played a game this week.
My name is Christopher Thomas Plant, and snap, I took a picture of you.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
My name is Russ Farshik, and I know the best game of the week.
Welcome to the Besties, where we talk about the latest and greatest in home interactive entertainment. It is a video game club, and just by listening, you, my friend, are a member. We've got two games to discuss this week, and before I get into that, let me say how happy I am to welcome back to the show I like to think of him as one of the founders of the Besties, in a sense.
Yes.
More of a mascot at this point. It's Griffin McElroy.
Hey, everybody, how's it going? What'd I miss, huh? You talk about Monster Hunter Rise? It's a good game, huh?
Hey, Griff, you didn't miss a lot, but it's been a slow time. People had a lot of fun, a lot of great guests, but not a lot of huge new releases, but wait a minute.
Yeah.
We got two games to talk about this week.
Yeah.
Two games at the same episode? It seems like an embarrassment of riches. But we're going to be talking about Pokemon Snap. And we're going to be talking about Returnal. And I'm thrilled about this. I'm so excited to have some video games back to discuss.
I do want to say, because I've seen a lot of people ask about my thoughts about Monster Hunter Rise, because I wasn't here for that episode, and I'm a big Monster Hunter head, and I do just want to say it whips absolute ass, and I can't stop fucking playing it, and it's the best game.
And me too. Really, I continue to still play it. It's fantastic.
It's dope as shit. I started playing a gunner, and there's a special move now where you throw a grappling hook forward and then swing around it in a semicircular fashion while shooting the whole time. They basically made Vanquish, which is hot as hell. Like, I am never going to be upset about that. But that's it. That's all I want to say about that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's settled.
You know what else is? You know what else is like Vanquish is fucking Pokemon Snap. It's a high octane action packed thrill ride through.
I've got chills with the fact that Russ has just called this episode New Pokemon Snap. There's not a lot to say about this one, guys. You take pictures of Pokemon.
Hey.
And now moving on to the next topic.
Now
we got
plenty to talk about.
Oh, good. I got plenty to listen about. Let's go.
I can kick things off. So this is the follow-up to the Nintendo 64 game Pokemon Snap, and sort of not much of the core DNA of the thing has changed. You go through different routes in a vehicle that automatically moves. It's an on-rails photographer, and you just snap pictures of Pokemon, and you get ratings based on, you know, photo composition, what the Pokemon's doing, whether their pose is kind of dynamic, how many other Pokemon are in the picture. And then you sort of unlock new stuff and new routes and et cetera, et cetera. That is exactly how it worked in Nintendo 64. And in new Pokemon Snap, there are a few additional sort of things that are layered on top of that. There is like a daytime and nighttime version of each route. You can level each route up as you play through it a certain amount of times, which unlocks sort of new paths and new Pokemon interactions. But the way that I think this game is best described is like a puzzle game almost, because it's so funny watching like younger folks who were introduced to the franchise after Pokemon Snap came out of just like, hey, in Pokemon Sword and Shield, you can take pictures of Pokemon. So like, why do you need a whole fucking game about this? When really it's not exactly about that. It is about sort of figuring out how to deal with these environments and figure out the little interactions in the environments to get these like special pictures. Like for instance, you may see some like burned up fruit sitting in the roots of a tree. And if you throw an apple, or what's it called? A fluff fruit, I think is one of the items you can throw in the game, into that pile, it will summon down the Pokemon essentially that burned them. And then you can get a picture of them. That's it. Like that's in a nutshell it.
Yeah.
And
I mean, yeah. The other big thing that they added is the end game, which is slightly different than the original Pokemon Snap, where you collect the 5 camera stones. And once you get them all, you perform a Pokemon Snap and half of the Pokemon disappear off the planet.
Okay. See, I haven't Boom. Gotten that far in Pokemon Snap, so I thought that this was real deal Holyfield, that you were just being sort of a goofer and talking about Avengers jokes.
Bringing those 2019 references.
Welcome back, baby. Hey, 2020 never happened.
Yeah, okay. So I have very, very strong memories of Pokemon Snap coming out in whatever it was, 1999 for N64.
Printing out your pictures from your memory card at the local Blockbuster? Like you
did
can't
not
beat
do
that.
That.
Oh,
but
shit. Okay.
I really don't think there's a more, there's a bigger poster child for a rental game than Pokemon Snap on the N64.
Yeah.
You could play it for about 4 hours and see the entire game, no questions asked. Like, yeah. There is not much there. It was fun. I had a blast playing it. But for 4 hours, you know, you weren't going to want to pay full price for that. Now, new Pokemon Snap, much, much more content, way more levels. As Griffin said, day-night cycle, stuff like that. The core of the game remains the same. For me, while I like the minute-to-minute of this game, it's still not engaging for me enough to be like, yeah, this stands toe-to-toe against other full-priced releases. It still feels a little light to me. And part of that is I'm a little bit bitter because I played the Pokemon Snap game I wanted to play, and it was called Alba on the iOS. It's called Alba. In Alba, you are a little girl on an island, and you walk around the island, and you take photos of animals in their natural habitat on your own. You can go wherever you want, and you are in control of that. The fact that they are still, in Pokemon Snap, keeping you on this rail system, and you're basically just like, it's basically like a Disney ride, right?
Yeah.
But for me, even though it does change, the 20th time I do the fucking Disney ride does not have the same thrill as the third time.
No.
So I'd really would have preferred some.
That is debatable there, my friend. Because if you continue to educate yourself about the creation of the ride, the way the rides have evolved.
Hidden Mickeys.
Maybe finding some hidden Mickeys. Yeah. Who said hidden Mickeys? They're right. Whoever said that.
There's
even more rewarding the 20th time.
I did not like the original Pokemon Snap. Because it was a game for babies.
All right.
We've talked about this before, that Body Harvest was out. There were 3D open world games. And here they were giving me Pokemon Stadium and Pokemon Snap. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, let me run around the Pokemon world. And they weren't letting me do it. And also, it was dull. And I know that everybody is nostalgic for Nintendo 64 graphics, but that's okay. Quite often, everybody's wrong. New Pokemon Snap, what a gem. I am delighted. I did not expect to love
Nor
this
I.
game, and I am on with it. And I do think it is finding me at the right moment. I'm like for the first time able to travel right now, so I am in Ohio seeing family. I My child is with my wife in a different state, so I actually have time to play something extremely leisurely, and it feels like Vacation the video game. And I also love Disney rides way more now, because I'm Chuggy, and I like going to Disney over and over as an adult. I don't know what about it that feels so different than the other one, other than it being bigger, and I think better visuals does really help it. I think, like,
yeah, it's a photography game. You want it to look good.
Exactly. Like, feeling like you were in this space. I will say it takes a while to find its groove. I think the first two kind of spots are the dullest spots in the game. And a lot of that is, like, it's trying to train you in that very Nintendo fashion where you don't really need a tutorial. But once it finds its energy, I don't know if any of y'all made it, like, to the later stuff like the Mist Forest, but it's awesome. Mostly because Bulbasaur's there. So, like,
I like him. He does great stuff. I wanted to say, I think that the games, I enjoy playing the game, like Russ said, the minute-to-minute stuff is great, but the way that the progression and gating of the game feels so unnecessary and so weirdly, like, punitive, where you get points for taking good pictures of Pokemon, and each Pokemon has 4 star ratings of pictures that you can take, which is a bonkers, inscrutable system that makes no sense, right? So if you take a picture of a Bulbasaur just kind of sitting down, that may just be a 1-star photo opportunity. But if he's standing up and smiling, that's a 2-star opportunity. And if he's got his vines out, that's a 3-star opportunity. And if he's jumping, that's a 4-star opportunity. And that stuff is, like, you just have to guess at that, at that shit, and you can never really tell. And it's important that you do that because you have to level up each route individually. And if you get, like, a really good 1-star photo of a Bulbasaur, and then you try to take another picture of a Bulbasaur, and it's just another 1-star photo, you're not going to get that. You're not going to get, worthless. Like, hardly any. It's worthless, right? That system makes no sense at all. It is genuinely not fun to go through a route taking a bunch of pictures of Pokemon, and then you get to the end, and you get, like, no experience points, which is made more punitive by the fact that I feel like the unlocks are so slow and so, like, seemingly random, where you'll be going through a place and be like, oh, obviously there's some sort of opportunity here, but I don't have the, you know, song power up yet, and I guess I'll just keep going through this same route, taking the same impotent pictures of Bulbasaurs until I finally unlock it at some point. It doesn't make any sense, man.
Yeah, I think I didn't like that with, again, Pokemon Snap Original, however its scoring system worked. I really just had to, like, ignore it effectively and just play this to, like, hey, I'm taking photos that I think are fun. And I don't know if it's just luck or whatever, but I at most had to play a route twice to unlock whatever was
next. That's fucking wild.
At most. Usually I played it once.
That is absolutely wild.
Yeah, I like
Ansel Adams over here.
Well, yeah, the other weird thing about this is, like, and they kind of recognize it, you don't win with good photography. What they want is, like, okay, the creature needs to be in the center and be super big and looking at you. And that's good photography.
Yeah, they don't do rule of thirds in Pokemon Snap.
No, they do
and,
not.
And then in acknowledging it, they have an option afterwards. They're like, hey, were there any photos that were actually good that you want to save? Because you can go do that. Because we know that you probably took some photos that were actually good.
I mean, that's the thing of it, is, like, I want a photography game. I want to have that level of control in a world that is as gorgeous as New Pokemon Snap is. Unfortunately, the main Pokemon games are not. This is definitely an upgrade, visually speaking, which is funny because it's a spinoff. So I want, like, I just want these visuals in an open world like the last Pokemon game was. And I'm, like, over the moon thrilled, and it's just not there yet.
This is probably the only time I'll ever say this, but this is a video game that would have benefited from ripping off Disneyland on Xbox 360 Kinect.
I feel like you're always saying shit like that, Chris.
Play seriously, but no, happen to have Apple Arcade, play Alba. It is spectacular and exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, and to go off the Disneyland thing, I think this would have been better if there was a somewhat 3D world that you could walk around and, like, do other things, and you could just go on any of these, quote, rides whenever you wanted. I actually think making this more of a game hurts it I think it would have been better if it was just like, hey, there are 15 spots where you can go do photography, and then you can also walk around a Pokemon world, and it's basically a Pokemon theme park. That would have
ruled. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I feel like all the things that they did to make it not a four-hour blockbuster rental hurt the experience.
Yeah.
And that's a bummer. Like, again, you can't make that game anymore and charge $60 for it, and I understand that, but give me the things that I need to start solving the puzzles right away. Don't make me play the same route, you know, a few times to get it to level 3 so I can finally, you know, knock that Heracross out of that tree. Yeah. Like, it's very frustrating and genuinely kind of disappointing. I have not loved my time with the game.
Yeah, and the other bummer is Nintendo games just don't get reduced in price. Like, any other studio made this, it would
maybe
be $40
$50 eventually, but
yeah.
Also, it made my son cry. Because I missed a picture of a score bunny sitting on a Torterra.
Oh,
and he was
whoa.
Like, why didn't you get that picture? And it's at the end of this route. And I was like, oh, well, let's just play it again. We'll play the route again until we get back to that score bunny. And he had no fucking patience for that. Because I hadn't unlocked the turbo mode yet. Sucks. No stars.
That actually was my sort of core frustration with the experience. Is I felt like more than the feeling of the satisfying feeling of like, oh, that was a good one. I got that at just the right time. The beat or the loop that I had more frequently was the sense that I had like just missed the picture that I would have wanted to take. And it's just like that feeling over and over and over again. And because it's on rails, you're constantly feeling like, oh man, I missed that. Oh, I missed that. Mm. Oh, I wish I'd, oh, I missed, dang, I missed that. Oh, I missed.
Yeah.
And that like that constant loop of like feeling like I just missed a great thing, which I think could have been ameliorated sort of by like what Plant is saying, where it's like a little bit less, you know, on rails, a like 100% concrete, this is what you have to do to get the points, and more like experiential, like, I like that picture that I took. I thought it was funny that I got that picture that I got.
Yeah.
Because of the circumstances that entered into it. And I also, and this is like a broader sort of issue that I don't know how you fix, but I think there's something fundamentally sort of troubling about photography, which is an art, being judged by an AI. Like, I think that sort of robs some of the fun of it. Like, it kind of weirds me out. And I know that I'm reading too deep into it, and you are free to dismiss this criticism as the ramblings of an old man in his twilight years. And I think you're well earned, but it kind of weirds me out when I think about people investing time into something to try to improve their skills at like a fake version of an actual skill. Games are good sometimes at actually like giving you a fundamental understanding of a real world skill. This is like spend time trying to get good at this sort of perversion of what good photography is.
Yeah.
As judged by an artificial intelligence. And like, for me, like that, I think that that's weird. Like, just like learn to just like go take.
I also don't
pictures.
Think that's
it's strange.
I don't think that's a Twilight Years thought. I think that's like a young people thought, because it feels like a leftover from a different time. Like, younger people
there
now.
There is a world where these are judged by people.
Yeah.
On a network.
Well, there is. You can post the photos
becomes
like the, online.
If that was the idea, though, right? Yeah. Like, if this is like Pokemon TikTok, you've got the biggest game in the world, right? Like, all of a sudden, it's like, and it's like an open world where you can find Pokemon doing weird stuff. You can make weird videos of Pokemon and then share them with people. Like, and that's how you like rank up or whatever. Like, that's a massive game. This feels very outdated.
Also, closer to what photography is today.
Yeah, right.
It should be noted that if you are connected to the internet, that grading system actually is handled by one man at Nintendo. He's very sad, but I mean,
you know what's weird? It's Reggie. I don't know how.
Why?
That's what he's going to do when he's unemployed there.
Let's move on. We said that there's not much to say about Pokemon Snap, and then we talked about it for 20 minutes. I don't know. If you like the first
Pokemon, I talked about it for 30 seconds. I did my part.
If you liked the first Pokemon Snap, you'll probably enjoy this one too. Just be prepared to put a little bit more like time into it than should probably be necessary in order for it to get going.
Alba. That's my last plug
That's
for Alba.
That's Russ's plug.
Okay. And Russ has said Alba a few times. Next up, I want to talk about Returnal.
Turbo mode.
I haven't played it because I can't imagine a game less suitable for me, the father of a one-month-old, to play than a extremely punishing long-run roguelike that apparently crashes and updates quite a bit.
Yeah, and doesn't have saves.
It sounds like fucking poison to me. So please tell me why people are enjoying and talking about this game.
I've been enjoying it. You know, okay, so if you want the pitch on Returnal and you don't know anything about it, here is my best. The best I can do for you is bullet hell Dark Souls.
Stop
it. If Dark Souls was a bullet hell, this is what it would be. Is that fair? Like, with sort of the underlying DNA of a Metroid. Like, if you can imagine, like, if this was what the next Metroid game was, it would feel like as much of an evolution as Prime was from the beginning of Metroid. Russ disagrees with me.
I agree with the Metroid part. I don't agree necessarily with the Dark Souls part, although it has sprung to mind a couple times.
It's hard. I know that Dark Souls thing is a little bit pat. It's so part of the DNA.
It's hard. It's a hard game. So I agree on that front.
It's hard. It's rewards, repeated runs.
Yeah,
skills evolve over time.
Let me try to do the like loop. Maybe that's like an easier way for people to grok it if you haven't played. The loop. You are an astronaut. You're on this alien planet. It's a third-person shooter. And you basically explore this alien planet. You find upgrades. You find new weapons. You find currency. Sometimes you can buy little upgrades in like mini stores. And then you die. And it starts you exactly at the beginning, classic roguelike style. And when you go to explore the planet again, it's all kind of rearranged and the encounters are different and the upgrades you find are different. So it's like very, very traditional roguelike in that sense. Like that format, if you've played Enter the Gungeon, if you've played Binding of Isaac, it's that, but in 3D and a third-person shooter. And I should mention like a pretty spectacular third-person shooter. It is very hard to make a good feeling third-person shooter. And Housemarque, who's the studio that made this game, has been making action games forever. Tremendous ones like Resogun and Outland is another great adventure game they made. So that part is extremely good. But paired with that, because it's a roguelike, is if you die, you aren't necessarily making progress. There are consolations to that. People have made a big deal about the fact you can't save. As you make it through the game, there are actually permanent unlocks that you get, grappling hooks and various other permanent unlocks, as well as progression unlocks. Once you beat the first boss, you never have to fight that boss again. You could just skip him and go to the next area without worrying about it. So there are like consolations on that front, but runs, as Griffin mentioned, are extremely long. To do a full run carefully takes me about 3 hours.
Full run to the end?
It's complicated.
Okay.
The game has like a few different acts to it, and they're kind of chunked up. But I would say like to get to an end is 3 hours. Now, at this point, I can win basically every single run. I've gotten to that point, and it takes me probably about 90 minutes to do a run. But there's no saving. There's no like, oh, I'm going to play another game and then come back to this, because you'll lose your progress entirely. And it, as Justin mentioned, or Griffin mentioned, if the game crashes, you're SOL. You lost all that run. That could be 2 hours worth of work. And that part is pretty.
Okay, here's where your logic starts to fall apart, and where this is like, I think, frustrating is it's a video game. Like, it's fun. It's not 2 hours worth of work. It's 2 hours worth of fun that you're having playing a fun video game. Base-to-base beats. I understand what you're saying, and there's a lot of times I agree with you. I'm saying, for me personally with this, I just think the basic action is so pleasurable.
Yeah,
and
it is
fun.
Spectacular.
That, like, I don't really mind, like, it's a fun experience to play. I am not progressing as fast as I would like to. I feel like at this point I still have I have unlocked a pistol and a shotgun and a machine gun and like some upgrades for those, and they each have alt fires that change depending on the pickup. So sometimes you'll get a gun that you really like with a alt fire you don't like, or and they have different levels to them. There's also perks on weapons that you can unlock as you use the perks, like ricochet, right, on a pistol. That the more you use the pistol with a ricochet perk, you fill up that progress bar. And then when it's full, from then on, when you find a pistol with ricochet on it, you just have it.
Yeah.
It just works, right? That's another sense of, like, progression. The only thing I don't love about the base action and what does actually feel very grindy to me is there's this idea of weapon proficiency, which is the idea that, like, when you first land on the planet, you weren't great at using weapons, right? Mm-hmm. And that also is reset every time you play. And on a run, you gain weapon proficiency both from kills and pickups that, like, just overall boost your damage. And that starts back at zero when you die. So that does feel kind of like you got to get your weapon proficiency up before you can start to just, like, mow stuff down.
Yeah, especially early on. I'm glad you mentioned the proficiency thing, because really what this boils down to is there are a lot of systems in this game. A lot of systems. And probably too many. There's actually a number of systems in the game that probably shouldn't, are like, that for sure are not very well balanced right now, to the point where they're more punishing than they are rewarding. There are chests that are, like, infected and they have a chance to give you malfunctions. You're better off right now entirely ignoring those chests. You don't even want to mess with them.
In this case are like a bad state that you can heal by doing something,
yeah,
right? Like by picking up a certain amount of money or by using a consumable, you can heal this. There's also parasites you can pick up that will attach to you that give you a boost,
right,
but also have a negative thing attached to them.
Sure.
Like a negative trait that they give
you. Bleed health or something like that. So the parasites thing is a great system because you know exactly what you're dealing with. Oh, I'm going to get this item. It's going to give me more health per every kill that I get, but it will also take damage whenever I use a key. So you know that stakes up front before you actually accept this thing. But there's a lot of, like, random punishments as well, like the malfunctions thing that I mentioned. It just feels like, you know, I've been looking at games like Nuclear Throne or Hades is obviously a great example of this. Both of those games were made in the public eye for a year. There were updates for a year, if not more, like Nuclear Throne, several years of updates happening in the public eye. It feels like there's a lot in this game that would have been much more refined had it been a more public development. And ordinarily, I would say most games do not, it does not help to do that because it generates a lot more problems. But with a roguelike, the nature of a roguelike is you have the core, right? You have the gameplay center. And once that's locked in, adding things and removing things and turning dials is relatively easy from a development side. That's why smaller studios make roguelikes. You can scale up a lot of content, scale down, change things without spending a ton of resources. That's why I think here, there are just, like, a lot of systems that would have been kind of polished and buffed had they been getting more feedback, hey, this isn't work versus not.
Some of them just feel unfair. Some of them are just like, well, it's, and not unfair, like, oh, what a ripoff, but, like, you didn't tell me what I was, like, for instance, this idea of, like, malfunctions. Sometimes there'll be chests, right, where there is a chance that you will get a malfunction if you open it. Not 100%, but there's a chance. And also what malfunction you get is random. So you don't know what's going to happen to you. And it might be the kind of malfunction that absolutely fucks your run when you're however long into the run. So eventually it's just like, well, I'm not even going to do those because I don't know. And that's something that could have been fixed. I feel like if I'm in a roguelike and I'm going to take on a negative trait in a run, Hades does this. If I'm going to take on a negative trait in a run, I want to know what it is.
Yep.
And if it's something that I can, like, incorporate, if it's worth, I can't make the
right
value judgment.
But it doesn't seem like they could have that kind of development cycle just by virtue of the fact that this is, like, the first kind of major non-remake-y release on PlayStation 5 as a PS5 exclusive. So it couldn't be a nuclear.
And it's a big 3D game, right? Like,
yeah.
And there's a pretty big difference just in terms of fidelity between this and something like Nuclear Throne. Doesn't mean they can't do those things. It just, I'm sure, is a little bit harder.
A lot of the issues that Russ and I are describing are not, they're not art intensive.
Right.
They are not, like, design intensive. I wouldn't change any.
The art design is spectacular in this game. It's a gorgeous game. All the enemies look really interesting. The environments look really interesting. The like,
there's weird narrative stuff happening mm-hmm. that I have no context for and do not understand. And I'm sure Russ gets better than I do.
Sort of. But
just like interesting things that are happening in the world. Like, oh, that's
great voice weird. Actor. Like the woman doing the voice acting is spectacular. So it's really like I know where that comes from, Plant, but it's really not that stuff. It's the well, this system isn't working quite right, so let's retool it in the way that like. Remember when Diablo 3 launched and it was a total mess at launch? Yeah. Like it was not a super fun game. And they basically had to do this redux where the cores was essentially the same, but they reevaluated loot and different other systems. And that's what it feels like there are. I don't think it's as drastic as that because I think this is a good game, but it definitely does not. You know, the reason that I can win a run right now every single time without fail is because I found the magic recipe of this overpowered gun, this overpowered perk, this overpowered thing. And now whenever I just find those, I just hold on to them for most of the game and just cruise. And that's a sign that like balance is certainly an issue. Now, right. it should be said, Housemarque, I think just today released another patch. It's funny because they need to tell people, hey, if your game is in sleep mode, it's be gone. Wary because you're going to lose your save if we put this patch out. So there's that.
That's the consensus I've heard is that it's a genuinely very fun game, but if you haven't picked it up yet, maybe wait for it to at least like get off the ground a little bit. Because I genuinely, they've patched the game a lot since it came out, and not a joke. Like what Russ just described has happened to people like that I know like a few times. So yeah. I don't think this will be the type of game I can sink time into until my childcare situation is profoundly different from what it is right now. But hopefully by that point, things will have settled a little bit.
For 6 months from now, I think A, the game's balance and stuff will be in a much better place. And B, I don't know if it's going to be 6 months. It will be a certain amount of time. 100% no doubt question that this game will hit PlayStation Plus.
PlayStation Plus, yeah. I was
not
say.
Even a doubt.
Yeah.
So if you have the patience, I would certainly recommend it. I think it'll be a better game at that point anyway. For right now, it's a very cool game. If you're really hard up for a PlayStation 5 game, it's very cool with a lot of buyer beware stuff.
Let's return all to the reader questions.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It kind of works.
I mean,
yeah,
arguably, kinda. Sure. Kinda. We weren't there before, but fine.
Okay, here we go. Welcome to the reader questions. Okay, so here's one I've got that's for Pokemon Snap. This one's from Maggie. What's your favorite research location in the game?
I like the jungle a lot. The jungle is, I think, the second level that you open up. And I don't know, I feel like there's just like a lot of different opportunities for like interactions there that just feel a lot more kind of logical. Which is something that I think it's the strongest suit of the game. I think actually the original Pokemon Snap did this a little bit better, where it's like, okay, if you want the picture of the Charizard, you got to throw something at this Charmeleon so it falls into the volcano and a Charizard comes out. Where in a lot of new Pokemon Snap, it's like, you have to throw this crystal gem at the crystal flower and that will summon a Vespiquen, and it's like not quite as logical, but I don't know. I feel like my first run through the jungle, I was doing stuff that I was like, oh, that's clever. That's cool.
The jungle was also the first area that I found was like really started to like show the visuals off more.
Yeah, that too.
Y'all liked the game way before I did. I think it really starts to sing once you get to the island and the volcano areas. You start going underwater, stuff like that. And then the late game stuff. Elsewhere Forest, I think, is a they save the best for last sort of scenario. I actually don't know if that's last level. But it's fantastic.
Justin, what's your favorite route?
Oh, yeah, I realize Justin doesn't have an opinion on it.
Oh, gosh, I like the all of them, but don't make me choose. of all the ones I unlocked, I liked them both. I like them all just the same. All of them are great. Okay. Don't make me choose. It's like choosing between my kids.
I've got a Returnal question for you, Justin. This one's from Joe. Is Returnal a good or a terrible title? I think this is a great question because
I don't have any trouble remembering
it.
Yeah.
Which I like. Returnal. I mean, it's like, it's just out there, but it is like very much in keeping thematically with the spirit of the game. What?
Did Chris just figure out what the title means? Christopher!
It's eternal, but you return.
Oh my God.
Christopher Thomas Plant.
Yeah. It's weird that another roguelike didn't use it already.
It is. Very,
I think it's a pretty good name. It's kind of generic, but it's also like, well, somebody should do that.
Yeah. Well, it's,
somebody making a roguelike game should do that.
It's worth noting that like there haven't been very many roguelike games apart from Hades that have brought the narrative of the fact that you are constantly reviving yourself into the game. Usually it's just like, oh, you just start another run. So
yeah, it's cool in Returnal. Sometimes when you find power-ups, they're on your corpse.
Yeah.
Like, that's neat.
You like, oh, I had this before. Dang, all right, cool.
Speaking of this, how has there not been an adaptation of Live, Die, Repeat for a video game?
Wasn't there like a phone game or something?
There might have been.
Probably. It was a phone game of everything. Sure, but it's a good point. They've made a roguelike movie.
Yeah, the book's basically based off.
That's weird that it's not. It's weird that it's not an adaptation of a video game. It's weird that that movie is not actually an adaptation of an existing property.
It's an adaptation of a book, which itself seems to be very blatantly inspired by video games. Mm-hmm. Okay. Book is a trip. Okay, one more question. This one is from Peep. I love new Pokemon Snap, but I do feel nostalgia gives it a big boost. What are your takes on nostalgia in video games in 2021? Does it have a big role?
Yes.
Oh, so I think yes, for sure. But I don't think it is quite as like potent as it was maybe even like 5 years ago, where it felt like, okay, if you make an indie game, it's a pixel game. There was a point where I felt like every indie title was kind of going off this like weird nostalgia beat. Maybe that was even longer ago than 5 years.
I don't think that's a nostalgia thing.
Yeah,
as much
that's
it
not
is
exactly
like a,
fair.
Just a game design, thing.
Right?
I think when I think nostalgia, I think like we're using characters from characters you know as a way to like pull heartstrings, which I think the games industry has more and more gone the safe route of like known franchises, established franchises, because that makes the most money. And I think that's not going to change. It's a weird year just because there aren't a lot of games coming out, but consider like the big games that have come out or are about to: Resident Evil Village, Monster Hunter, Pokemon Snap. We're talking about generally sequels or follow-ups. Returnal is one of the few exceptions, but Returnal's a risky game. Like I'm not surprised that there aren't more of those.
I guess so. I don't see nostalgia in these franchises. I feel like video game franchises are almost akin to sports because it is a form of play, and it's, oh, you like this thing and you will keep coming back to it and they'll evolve it. But then nostalgia for me would be like, oh, then they add tofu mode to a new Resident Evil, right? Like it's like very much this like specific type of winkiness. I think like Pokemon Snap has that because it's such a singular moment in Pokemon games, but I don't find like I have nostalgia for Pokemon characters, but not for like Pokemon the game, I guess.
Pokemon as a franchise is nostalgia personified. Like the whole
it's
thing.
It's been the same game over and over again since 1998 or whatever.
Griffin, Justin, you have any feelings on this before we wrap?
No.
Great.
You've said
no.
Perfect. We did it. We got through it. What are y'all playing this week besides the stuff that we've been playing?
When are we going to do? Should we do eventually a near, like full near episode?
100%. Like, we have to. You've played Nier Automata now.
Yes.
You're not going to play Nier Replicant.
Definitely not.
Replicant.
I've seen a lot of people on Twitter say that they want a just Russ and Chris and Justin episode of Nier.
That's so weird. I've seen the reverse. I've seen Griffin and Russ and Plant.
Well, maybe we just make Russ and Plant talk about Nier, but we make them do it for 4 hours.
There's no way we haven't exhaustively talked about Nier Automata on this show. I know we have.
I hadn't really played very much of it at the time.
Great.
Fresh has feelings that are contrary to mine. And maybe Russ and I will find a way to do that at some point down the line. I'll spare you me talking about Nier Replicant then and say I've been playing Mario Golf Advance Tour.
Hell yeah.
What a great game.
So y'all, good.
What a fucking good game.
Takes way too long to get started. Classic Game Boy thing.
Classic
like,
Nintendo problem, but damn, once it gets going. Yeah. I actually replayed Chrono Trigger. Nice. If we're talking about playing retro shit. Holy shit, that game's good. Wowzers Bowsers, holy shit, that's a good game. Wow, does it hold up. What a masterpiece.
Yeah, it's really spectacular. It's one of the few JRPGs from that era that I can really personally stomach. Yeah. And it's just really spectacular. It's phenomenal. The combat and the music everything.
It's all good.
I wanted to mention, we talked about it a little bit at the top, but Monster Hunter, I'm still playing it.
Yeah.
They just released an update like earlier this week or last week that added like a bunch of new monsters, a bunch of new like equipment. And it like put me right back on that grind of like, I'm like galaxy braining these like builds for my characters. Oh, I'm going to use a sword and shield. And oh, if I bring this talisman into it's for a game that like has literally never grabbed me. And there have been 30 of them. Yeah. The fact that it's suddenly like all clicking now. And it's this thing that like I'm actually going to keep up with free updates just because fighting a new monster is fucking fun.
Yeah, fighting Camellios was like, oh shit, this monster's invisible. What?
And to play it in contrast to Returnal, which is an enjoyable but very stressful game, Monster Hunter is not. It is. I find it like extremely relaxing, which is ironic given the visuals and the fact you're fighting giant monsters. Like, generally speaking, like you faint, like big fucking whoop. There's cats. There's dogs. It's just like I'm chilling on the couch, feeling like I'm actually progressing. It doesn't feel grindy to me. It's very satisfying. I just love it. It's great.
Real quick, I've been playing The Longing. Do you guys know The Longing?
No.
Oh my God. So this just came out on Switch. It came out on PC, I think, last year. This just came out on Switch last month. The Longing is you play a character called Shade, who is the servant of a king. And the king lives underground with you, and the king says, I need to go to sleep for 400 days to regain my power.
Classic.
And then he leaves you there, and the king goes to sleep. And this game plays out in 400 days of real time. And the real time is always moving, no matter if you're playing or not.
It's your real time, so, basically.
It's our real time, right? So it's 400 days of real time. If you and basically what you're just doing is like wandering around killing time waiting for the king to wake back up. So like, and you can wander around and find coal and then go back and like make drawings in your little office, and that can like help that passes time a little bit more quickly.
Wait,
but no matter what is happening,
how does it pass? I thought it was real time.
It's part of the game is you're finding things that help pass
decrease the 400 days. So it's
make the 400 days go faster.
But if you were to install it and then just like forget about it and then come back in 400 days, it would be done.
It would be over and you could trigger the ending.
That seems like a pretty easy way to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, what's the opposite of a speedrun? But there's neat stuff like if you go around and you explore, you can just tell them to go back home and then turn the game off.
Oh, yeah.
And the next time you turn the game on, it's back at the house.
That's cool.
Hey, what's going on? You can tell them to read a book. I'm like, okay, I'll just read this book. And then when you come back, he's like, oh, I read the book. Here's what I think about it.
Can't you read?
It's very kind of morose and sad and solitary, but...
Isn't like all of Moby Dick in it and you can read it alongside him if you want? Yeah. Something like that?
I have not encountered Moby Dick. Maybe that's a pickup.
DLC.
I gotta make it DLC microtransaction. It's very interesting. It's one of those things that's neat to have a game that I don't feel bad about like picking up and playing for 20 seconds, but like, all right, I'll check back in on it later. It's going fine. It doesn't need me to be there.
That's neat.
But it is kind of interesting.
That's a cool idea.
Next week on The Besties, we are going to talk about Resident Evil Villages.
Where's the excitement?
Another
village.
I'm stoked.
Another big game.
I wrote Village. I wrote Villages, but it should just be Village.
I think it's just the one village. That's you can't do more than one scary village. Yeah. That's
the sequel.
I'm so excited for this game.
I hope we have the appropriate time to spend with it.
Do you think because they make a joke in the title where V-I-L-L, a village, is basically 8 in Roman numerals.
Yeah.
So do you think internally they just call it Resident Evil 8?
Or they called it Vadages.
It's Resident Evil 8. I mean, I feel like we're buying into the company bullshit by calling it Village.
Yeah.
It's Resident Evil 8. Come on.
I'm excited. I was too scared to play the last one.
All right.
Uh-huh. Wait, really?
And you'll probably be too scared to play this one, and you'll probably pretend to be sick. Sorry, guys. I can't podcast today. That's going to do it for us. Besties.fan is the URL of our website. If you want to share the show with other people, Besties.fan is the link. And we sure appreciate you doing that because it helps us to grow. So thank you.
Oh, and Twitter, if you want to. Yeah, the Twitter.
Oh, yeah, we're on Twitter @TheBestiesPod. Catch it.
you'll be able to see the photos from the cold open.
Yeah, it's fun.
And that'll do it for us for this week. So be sure to join us again next time for the besties, because you're the world's best friends. Pick the world's best games.
Besties!